views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready? The Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, Your Call to Action. Join Cornelia as she empowers others to live heaven on earth. Cornelia teaches listeners how to be the authority over yourself, embracing your inner guru. Feel yourself uplifted into limitless expansion, integrating ease and grace in a changing world. This show will cover topics such as unconditional love, your physical body, how to be in extraordinary relationships, create financial and emotional wealth, embracing entrepreneurship in the new earth.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Cornelia Stephanie Show. I'm with my co-host, Dennis Gaither. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Cornelia. Hello, everybody.
Hi, everybody. So nice to see everybody here, everybody. We've got an extraordinary show for you because we're talking about one of my favorite, all-time favorite topics, and that is our family. But it's not what you think. But we're talking about family today. That's the topic that Dennis is bringing to us today because we're going to talk about our family. So do tell us what this topic is about today and what is it that you're referring to.
Cool. Happy to. So actually, this topic is about the family that is within each of us. It's our inner family. And it's not unrelated to our outer family. Our inner family acquires a lot of its aspects and roles in relationship. But it's really about our inner family, and that in turn influences how we are with the family of humanity, really. I want to share a poem with you.
Yeah.
To start things off, this is a poem that I just love by a poet named Galway Kennell. And it's called The Bud. And it's, the bud stands for all things, even for those things that don't flower. For everything flowers from within, of self-blessing. Though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness. To reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely. Until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. And really the self-blessing, the presence of self, is really the key to really knowing and understanding our inner family. And that's what I'm really excited to share with you today. And thank you for this opportunity, Cornelia.
Oh my gosh, it's perfect. It's perfect that you're bringing this topic. It's perfect that we're focusing on the inner life, on the inner family. And I'm grateful that you're bringing this topic up so that we can help people embrace their inner life, embrace their inner family, right?
Absolutely. And I want to start by, I think it's really important to acknowledge one's teachers. And a lot of my understanding about that inner family, it comes both from really studying a lot of spiritual traditions over a long period of time. But in terms of understanding the psychology of it, I owe a lot to Dr. Richard Schwartz, who developed a model called the Internal Family Systems Model. And a lot of what I'm going to share with you actually comes from his work. And you can find out more and many resources on the Center for Self-Leadership website. If you Google Center for Self-Leadership, you will find a treasure trove of trainings and possibilities and resources. So with a great deal of respect and gratitude, we'll continue. But I feel like Richard Schwartz, is kind of standing behind me here or with me in some way.
He's not with us anymore?
Oh, absolutely he is.
Oh, okay.
He's very much alive and teaching.
Okay, great.
So it's not like he's on the other side. It's just experiences and learnings. I have a lot of respect for him. In that way, he's with me.
I love that. Love that, Dennis. Okay. Talk to us about how the inner family works.
Okay, cool. So let's start with a little bit about clarifying a few things that might be confusing, because first of all, in our deepest truth, capital T truth, our real truth is that we are actually a profoundly interconnected wholeness. We're not a lot of parts in our deepest truth here. There's an abiding, what I call self with a capital S, presence within each of us. And so that's self. That's what we might call in different traditions as soul or presence or spirit. Different traditions will call it different things, but we're not so much interested today in trying to define it so much as how do we experience it. So, but we are all born here into our human experience. And as we arrive here, we've got lots of parts. We've got lots of different aspects. We don't seem to be a unified wholeness. And that's actually kind of a normal part of our experience. I might give you just a quick example. I might get up on Monday morning. There's a part of me that says, oh, gee, bed's awfully comfortable. I think I'll have to stay in bed. Another part says, nah, you better get up. You won't be able to pay the rent if you don't work. Another part might be real critical and says, oh, you're lazy, you know. I mean, we kind of use those parts' language intuitively when we can kind of feel pulled in different directions. So it's not totally foreign idea to even think of ourselves as parts. And each of those parts are like little seeds. There's a potential that they all have to become a resource for us. They can be in different roles, different ages. So maybe when I go to write my checks, I have a part kind of that comes out and says, okay, we can do addition, we can do subtraction, we can get the money, we can get the bills paid. But then that one can step back and say, okay, now it's time to have fun. And another one can come out and say, let's go for a hike, or let's go call up somebody and have a good time or something. So when the system is working in harmony, a part can kind of step in when it's needed, and when it's not, it steps back and something else can come in.
I love when the system is working in harmony.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it isn't always, but we'll come to that in a little bit here. I'll say just a little bit more, though, about self, because that's really a key, And like I said, it's an abiding presence that's within us, and we all share that. And it's really not that anyone has more or anyone has less. It's a place of calmness, clarity, compassion that's within us as a potential, where we differ from one another, and actually differ not so much from one another, within ourselves from moment to moment to moment, is how much access we might have to it and how much, where the blocks are to accessing self-presence. So this idea of that there is something beyond our day-to-day experience self is not a new one in the world. It's been a part of every esoteric spiritual tradition for centuries at least, maybe millennia. Relatively new to Western psychology, but it's catching on. So a simple way to think of it here that's not quite so conceptual is it's a state of mind from which we can relate to our inner experience as well as our outer experience. It's kind of like the quiet center, the calm, compassionate, curious. We can relate with curiosity to that experience, and maybe with a sense of compassion, not only to what's outside, but what's inside. And sort of a key here is how can we, a way of kind of coming into more of awareness of self is to kind of notice when we're not there, and learning how to bring self-presence into relationship with some aspect of us. Let me give you an example here. I'm going to use my hands as sort of a model here, as a guide. So let's say there's an aspect of, we all have many different aspects, and some of them we really like and we appreciate, and some of them maybe we have some judgments about and we don't like very much. We all got them. Let's say I've got my scared little boy part, my overperforming adolescent part. I got the part that can, my little needy part that says, oh, I got to have some confirmation from outside. I mean, we all have that one somewhere. But we may also have other parts that don't like those parts. So maybe there's another one that says, doesn't like that needy part. It says, oh, get out of here. You don't need any help. And it kind of takes over. So those are parts that kind of polarize with each other in different roles. But turning towards apart means actually bringing self-presence to it. So let me give you a little illustration here. So let's say my needy part's up here. So it's in the driver's seat. You can't see this on the audio, but my two hands are locked in a clenched fist together tightly, which means I'm totally blended with that part. My worldview, my experience is just simply of that part. And the sensations I have, everything is that. There's no wiggle room there. I'm totally identified with it. So, but maybe if I can slow things down a little bit, take a breath. Take a couple of breaths, maybe either on my own, or maybe I need some help from another person to help me do that. Maybe I need a little of their self-presence to help me do that. But things can kind of start to loosen up. So I'm kind of loosening my grip here a little bit here. There's a little more wiggle room. And now there's a little bit more perspective. I'm not quite so blended with this part. There's more possibility there. Just by kind of letting this know, hey, I see you. I see that you're feeling pretty needy right now, if that's what it is. Or I see you're feeling pretty angry right now, if that's what it is. So there's a little less identification. There's a little less, more space. And just acknowledging it, I've become less identified with that feeling or sensation and more now I'm witnessing it. Still in touch with it, still in touch with what it's feeling, but now I can start to bring maybe a little curiosity about it. Oh, I wonder why it's up right now. What's about that? Mm-hmm. Or maybe some compassion. Yeah, I kind of see that. I see that, how painful that is for you. So as I can notice how I'm feeling toward it, am I coming from that judgmental place, which is another part? I can ask that to step back, give us some space, and just be in a compassionate place with this one. That gets me in touch with my inner healer. I can kind of now start to find out stuff, just the presence of being in that. This little needy part starts to realize, well, its need for something outside is less because now it feels something from inside is there with it. And so, you know, we can kind of have a little dialogue. We can find out what the history is, what the beliefs about it is. We can find out many different things, but it brings a healing presence to it. As we turn toward those aspects of self, those parts that we may have judged against.
Yeah.
As we kind of turn towards them, but not in an angry, attacking kind of way. It's not like, there you are again. It's more, oh, I see you. Yeah, I get it. Get that you're feeling pretty upset right now. I get that you're having a hard time.
In more of a safe way.
Pardon?
In more of a safe
way. Absolutely more of a safe way. Absolutely more of a safe way, a gentle, kind of way. Those things start to loosen up inside, and we start to be able to get greater clarity, greater awareness, and there's healing there. Mm-hmm. And in doing, you can do... some of this work on one's own by just developing this as a practice, or, you know, therapists who work with internal family systems actually practice helping people to learn how to do this by bringing the therapist's own self-presence into the relationship.
Yeah. And what I really love is offering that safe space for yourself,
mm-hmm.
that safe space where you said, you know, how just loosening the grip and just offering more of a letting go so that you can, you know, feel the, you know, because you said, I see you're feeling a little needy. I see. And so that is just as an observer and just kind of a curiosity. I see, I feel you. I understand, mm-hmm. kind of like that. And that offers a level of safety where, like you said, it gets in contact with your inner healer, where now you can kind of relax a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's right. And, you know, and sometimes I, you know, maybe I'm so blended with a part, especially if it was something that's holding really, really painful or something traumatic, it may not be possible to really access that on my own. But that's when the role of being with somebody else can really be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like what Richard Schwartz used to say, is there needs to be a certain amount of self-energy in the system. And it may come from another person initially, but the goal is to for each of us to develop enough access to self that we can do a lot of our own self-healing or self-comforting, at least. We never outgrow our need for others. We're just wired that way as human beings, but certainly we can become we can kind of help take care of ourselves in that way. And we can kind of look at ourselves and help to release some of our burdens that we may be carrying, that those parts may be carrying. And the burdens, when I'm talking about those are beliefs that a part organizes itself around.
Right. Yeah. And I just want to clarify that beliefs are absolutely things that can be changed.
Oh, absolutely.
And I just want to clarify that. And beliefs are just thoughts that we think over and over and over again.
Yeah. I'll say a little bit more about that because it is true. There's a cognitive part, which is just the belief. And sometimes just thinking about it, trying to think something different, sometimes we may find that it doesn't, just in and of itself, that doesn't really quite work. And so that kind of leads us into maybe a little bit about how kind of our inner system is organized when things aren't so in harmony a little bit here. Because that's, to me, that's been fascinating and extremely helpful. But all of us as human beings here, we come here with all these potentials here, this vast possibilities, but we're born into a body, and we're born into a family, a gender, a culture, certain expectations, and everybody human being has the experience that certain aspects of themselves can't be there, either because they're disapproved of, or they're shaming experience, or they're scary experiences, many reasons that certain aspects are not, they can't have that here. Yeah. And so that aspect of the self, of a person, has to be kind of extruded, pushed out. We try to get rid of it. We can't really get rid of it. But what we can do is exile it to kind of a relatively remote part of our consciousness, either by walling it off or often freezing it in time in some way. And those are aspects that we call exiles. And those exiles, they hold core beliefs about themselves and about themselves in relation to others, that maybe things like, I'm just not lovable, the world's not safe. But when this aspect of self has to go away, something else has got to come in to take over so that we can function. And so maybe let's say there's a my carefree child part that just wants to be a kid and trust that everything's being taken care of. Maybe in a situation where the child has to be sort of emotionally or physically caretaking, that little child part, carefree child part, can't be there. So it has to kind of go away. So what else is going to come there instead? Something else will step in.
Good point. It's a really good point.
It's sort of like when a person may lose their vision, their hearing becomes very tuned in.
Yeah.
So maybe the carefree, in this example, the carefree child part has to go away. It doesn't really go away. It just gets exiled. It still has its need there.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of not expressed.
Yeah.
Not directly. It may indirectly be expressed. But something else steps in. So maybe it's going to be the caregiving part. I'm going to take care of somebody else. So maybe I'll get ultimately indirectly my own need met here, or many other versions of that. But some other part comes in and steps in. And we call those managers. And it has a couple jobs. One is it lets us function in the world without that exiled part. So we can take on a role. So we can feel like we have a sense of who we are in this role, even though we've kind of lost a part of we are in our essence. So that's part of what the manager does. But the other thing that the manager does is that when that exile had to leave, it took with it certain emotionals and experiences. When that exile left, so maybe often there's a feelings of shame or sadness or fear or anger or rage. There are many things that they might be carrying. And the system as a whole is afraid that it's going to be too destabilizing to have those feelings up. And so the managers are going to work really hard to keep that from happening. to keep that, they're going to keep that exile at bay. So maybe I'm just going to work really, really hard to be really good kid. So I'll feel loved and accepted so that the part of me that doesn't feel lovable doesn't get to feel that pain again.
You're describing my childhood.
I know. Well, there's a lot of childhoods that are kind of like that. Mine too, in certain ways too. The forms of the stories, there are kind of common themes being here. The forms differ in their details, but you know, the part of the child that could be carefree is a common one, and or many others. The part of us that just naturally feels lovable.
The part that really resonates is all these things, but the not getting my needs met as a child because I was the caretaker.
Yeah.
That was a big role. So all the way through, not until later on in my mid 30s did I feel safe enough to let that part come out and be heard, because prior to, the managers were very busy at keeping everything.
And actually, your example there, what it really highlights, Cornelia, is just how much courage it actually does take to start to let some of the feelings of the exile come out. Because whatever the exile took with us, the grief or the sadness, so that's going to be part of its reemerging. It's a healing process, but it can be a part of how that can be. There can be fear about it, but what is helpful here is how we can bring self-presence and we can bring compassion as opposed to force. I'm going to say just a little bit more about another kind of group here of protectors. We call managers or protectors. They're kind of proactive. They're going to keep you from having that bad feeling again. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, okay. The part of me that, let's say I have a part that was kind of embarrassed as a kid at kind of being unprepared. So guess what? I got a manager that says I'm going to over-prepare for things.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, Transformation Talk Radio interviews.
Yeah, and getting all the show notes together, and there's like 5 pages or something.
Well, there you got it. So that's a manager. Yeah. That's a manager. And they do their job. But every once in a while, the managers can't quite cover it. Sometimes the feelings or the whatever it is kind of breaks through in spite of them. And so then we kind of have an inner SWAT team that is going to jump in, and it has no concern about long-term consequences. It just has the immediate, wants to protect the system from the feelings of this exile. And we call those firefighters. They're kind of like the emergency squad that comes in. There are many of them. Pretty much all addictions are firefighter parts that are just jump, whether it's to substances or to things, to shopping or whatever. Those are firefighters. Sometimes firefighters, and sometimes their long-term effects can be destructive, and we may have a lot of judgments about them in ourselves and others, but they're actually trying to help. All the parts are trying to help according to their understanding. So sometimes firefighters can be quieter. I've got a space out part. It's like, whew, where did Dennis go? He's gone. That's a firefighter. Or we'll go to sleep at the wrong time. That can be a firefighter, not necessarily, but might just be tired, but can be a firefighter part as well.
How do you identify the firefighters?
How do you identify the firefighters? Basically, you turn toward it. You just kind of get curious about it. And you can usually, when we have a firefighter part, there's somebody else in there, a harsh manager that doesn't like it. And so you feel the tension of the polarity. You feel that you're not in self. Self has a very different kind of spacious sort of feeling. And so you know that somebody's in there. And exactly what name you put on it is kind of useful to have those tags. But it's more about turning towards them with a sense of curiosity. I wonder why you took me out just there.
Well, that's good. That's good. I like that. That's a really cool way.
But it's like using that model, instead of being blended with, we can kind of step back from a little bit. Okay, I see that you're a part of me that just took me out right there, or that just had me go drink right there. I can kind of turn toward it with some curiosity. For many things, we can kind of look at them on our own. For other things, we may need some assistance with that to look at, because a lot of times the exiles that are being protected by firefighters carry pretty intense feelings that may be difficult to manage on our own. But for a lot of day-to-day things, we can kind of turn towards them with a sense of curiosity. Like, I wonder why. Maybe there's something it wants to show me. We'll do a little exercise, actually.
Yeah, it would be great to do that. I just really think, you know, like if we, all of us, you know, developed more of a habit in looking at things more from a sense of curiosity rather than judgment or, you know, like the shoe's going to drop or something, or, you know, just on defense. I guess that's what it is. I'm trying to find the word, like, you know, like rather than looking at things with on a defensive way, but rather looking at it more from an open, curious, I wonder whether it's a good thing or, you know, something that's challenging to look at. But if we, you know, looked at it more in that way, that would be a really great practice that would serve us well.
It actually is a wonderful practice, and it is a practice. It's not something anybody jumps into and finds easy to do.
Yeah.
There's a practice that I actually use sometimes when I find that I am kind of not in self that I find useful. This comes from a different teacher whom I also respect. Her name is Regina Dawn Akers. And it's one that she shared years ago, but I still use it. And it's called Rest, Accept, and Trust, R-A-T. And the first thing is to, when I find myself blended with a part, i.e. there's a sense of tension, constriction, there's a different feeling. The first thing is just to rest, resting the mind. Take a breath, slow things down. Maybe some statement to the effect of, you know, I know you'll get something, a positive statement even can help, or just connecting with a friend saying, hey, I'm kind of revved up here, help me settle down. So it's rest, resting the mind. So the A, that's rest. A stands for accept. And accept means just sort of means accepting whatever feelings are arising within. So it's accept means not turning away from the upset, whatever it is, but not necessarily indulging it either, but just accepting this is what's going on. This is what's coming up inside me. And it's also for the moment is accepting whatever the outer situation is too. There may be a way of coming back to it and being in it in a different way. But first, if we can do some healing inside, we can be more effective, actually. The last one is trust, rest, accept, and trust. The trust is just trusting that there is some higher wisdom inside me, and it's just allowing the spaciousness for it to come. And I find that that last one actually really helps to kind of quiet things down. It slows things down. Self actually moves at a much slower pace. In a certain way, it's very quick, but in terms of the way the thoughts come, it's kind of slowed down so that we can actually have some, so I can actually have some awareness around it.
Yeah.
It's not so reactive.
I love this. I love this practice. It's a wonderful technique and tool that you just shared with us. And I know that, you know, this is in service to really help us in a moment where we may find ourselves challenged. So this is a beautiful tool. Dennis, why don't we take a break on the Cornelia Stephanie Show with Dennis Gaither, and we'll be right back.
Cool.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
We are back and you're listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, and we're speaking with Dennis Gaither today, talking about how to love and listen to our inner family and all the moving parts within us. Dennis, you and I were talking about this on break. We're going to do a meditation and we're going to do a little practice. And I'm always excited when you bring wonderful exercises to us that we can test and try out.
Cool. Yeah, well, so am I. I actually like to, for things just aren't as real to me if I don't actually do them or experience them in some way. So this is intended to be just a little introduction to experiencing our inner family, and particularly our self-presence, capital S self-presence. This is it's a meditation. It's called Inviting a Part to Speak. And again, this comes from Dr. Schwartz, Richard Schwartz. And so I'm borrowed it from, there was a workshop called Accessing and Living from Self, and I heavily borrowed this meditation from there. So I'm going to invite anyone who is interested in participating to first just take a few moments and just let yourself become really mindful. So that means just letting yourself be aware of any thoughts, feelings, sensations that you might be having. So we're going to just kind of slow things down a little bit here and just settle in. And just noticing thoughts, feelings, body sensations. And as we do that, you're separating from them just a little as you come into a place of observing them. So you're still aware of them, but observing them. And as you separate from them and just noticing them, you're entering, at least to some degree, what we call self, starting to bring some self energy, some self presence into your system. And from that place of self, you may be more, you are actually more accepting of those emotions or sensations rather than stressing about having them. You may feel a little bit more relaxed, spaciousness, maybe a little curious about your experience, maybe a little sense of well-being. Emotions, thoughts, impulses, sensations, we're just noticing. Just noticing all of that. Now, all of that would be part of a mindfulness practice, which is a wonderful first step. And if we were just doing a meditation practice, we would just continue to notice those sensations and experiences from that place of witnessing. But in this meditation, I'm going to invite you to actually take another step, another little step here. And that would be to pick out one of those emotions or sensations or impulses or beliefs or images, whatever's coming up. Whatever is there, can you just let one of them kind of show itself that it wants you to pay attention to it for a little while? So we just pick one of them out to focus our attention on, your attention on for a little bit. See if one of them might be calling out to you, letting it know it wants you to pay attention to it. And I'm going to pause and just give you a few moments here just to kind of make that selection. Take your time. And when you have one in mind, then gently, very gently, just let your attention rest on it. Let your attention rest on it exclusively for a little while. And maybe you can find a place in or around your body where it seems to be located. And as you notice it, just let it know in a kind and gentle way that you're paying attention to it. In this moment, I see you there. I'm paying attention. I feel you there. Just letting you know I see you. And notice how that sensation or feeling or memory or whatever it is responds to that. Just you paying attention to it. And as you pay attention to it, perhaps in that place in or around your body, notice how you're feeling toward it in this moment. Are you feeling mindfully accepting of it? Or maybe there's some parts of you that don't like it or fear it, or maybe even feel kind of dependent on it. And let all those be okay. Just noticing how you are in this moment, feeling toward this part of you. And if you are noticing anything, any feeling other than kind of a mindful curiosity or even compassion, that means that there are some other parts that are kind of wanting to get in the act and that they're influencing you. And what those parts do is they kind of influence us to see it in their way. And so just gently ask them if they would step back just a little bit and give you a little space just to focus on this one part. See if they would be willing to do that. If they can't, that's okay. You can just be curious about why they might not want to do that. We're not going to force anything. Absolutely nothing is forced. But see if they would be willing to step back so you can get to know this first part. We call that the target part. Just so you can get to know it in a different way. There might be something surprising that it has for you that you never knew before. It's kind of exciting. So just kind of see if you can just be curious about that focus part, the target part. And then follow that gentle curiosity. And this is a gentle, open kind of curiosity, open to whatever comes. There's not an agenda there. And you can ask the part, what does it want you to know about itself? And you can focus on it wherever it's coming from in the body and see if you can just let that part itself tell you. There might be a thinking part of all of us that wants to insert something and wants to think about it, but see if that would be willing to step back and give us a little space also, and just let it come directly from the part, whatever it is. So asking it what it wants you to know about itself. What is this part of me, this feeling, this body sensation, this impulse, whatever it is. What does it want you to know about itself? And we just wait. We just wait for the answer to arise from that place. And let it be okay if nothing does. Nothing is forced. But just trust that it may arise at some other time. And just respect that if this isn't the right time, that's okay. We want to be compassionate with whatever our experience is. So we'll give you just a moment to just be with that part here. Be curious about it. And as you get to know it, there's another useful question you could ask. And what is it afraid would happen if it didn't give you this thought or emotion or sensation or whatever it's doing? What is it afraid that might happen if it wasn't there, wasn't doing that? And as you get to know this part, you may find that you have enough information to extend some appreciation toward it. You may appreciate what it's trying to do for you, knowing that all of our parts are actually trying to be helpful in their some way according to their understanding. Maybe a sense of compassion for it if it's a painful part. See if you can extend that to this part and just see how it reacts. So take a little moment with that. And then the final question for this meditation is to ask the part, what does it want from you in the future? What does it need from you going forward? And often it just needs for you to pay attention to it, just to connect with it. But there may be something else as well. So take a moment just to do that. And then when you're ready, you can just slowly bring your attention back outside and thank that part for showing up. Thank that part for showing up and sharing with you in this way. And thank all the other parts that step back to give you the space to do that. That little bit of gratitude is actually really important. And let them know that you're going to come back and visit them again. Okay, so in the last, I think we have these last just few moments here before we take another break, it looks like. So we can see how mindfulness is just an amazing, wonderful practice. And in this particular work, it's an important first step. It's a vital first step. By adding that second step of coming to your part with qualities of curiosity, compassion, and courage, it's actually you're bringing your inner healer into relationship with the part. And so a deeper level of healing is possible. And it's not only because the part starts to feel more accepted and loved, but also because it starts to trust you, your capital S self, more as the leader. Your whole system starts to trust you, your true self, your essence self, as its leader. And that helps the whole system to work together in a harmonious way.
Beautiful. And for those of you that are going to be watching this show on YouTube and on the replay, we would love for you to share with us how this experience was for you. So when Dennis was asking us to be curious and, you know, what were you experiencing, you know, share with us in the dialogue, you know, what that was like for you. How did you enjoy that? Did you get, you know, some insight? Did you experience a shift? Did it really support you in that way? Because I know just for me, I just feel that love, that spaciousness, that, you know, it's all that, like you said, that inner healer that's there and is all the parts working together harmoniously.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I've done this one quite a number of times, either usually by listening to Dr. Schwartz's recording of it, but I always am surprised. There's always something different that comes up. It's sort of like what is needed right now. And it's like, wow, and that's always helpful.
Yeah, and that's why it doesn't matter where you are, because wherever we are, there's always something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find even with repetition, doing it more than once, it's easier to go deeper. Actually, as it becomes more familiar.
Yeah.
Practice. So.
Yeah. So let's take our last break. We'll be right back.
Cool.
Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
You know, Dennis, before we went to break, and you were sharing this practice, this self-awareness, this self-presence, this exercise with us. I was witnessing you and watching you, and just seeing how much joy you really get out of explaining this and teaching, talking about it. I just see how much you love it. And what I wanted to ask you is, why do you love this so much? What is it about this line of work, this line of teaching? What is that joy that I see coming out of you that really loves doing this work?
Yeah, okay. So, and you're right, there is a lot of joy in it. And I think that probably there are many aspects, but the most joyful part of it is just the ability, or the opportunity, I should say, to witness blossoming. To witness blossoming in another person, to experience it in myself. Those actually are more and more in line with each other, actually. Coming into presence with self, I know that when we read about it, Dr. Schwartz's work actually talks about it more he talks about it in psychological terms mostly. Mm. Although I've had conversations with him, he actually has a much bigger view of it than just that. And it's really our deepest spiritual universal self. And it's like a wellspring that when we can tap into it, it's hugely joyful, it's peaceful, it's calm. And it seems like there's kind of a yearning or a call that really at some level everyone has. I certainly know it in myself, and I see it, and I've experienced it kind of shifted into different forms. So I thought I was wanting something else, but it was really that deeper yearning for wholeness, for connection. And the connection gets reflected in our connections with each other, but it's really a reflection of a deeper connection inside. And that inner presence is a way, for me personally, it's that it's the experience of not having to feel alone.
Wow.
Not that I don't ever have that feeling of being alone and experience it as painful sometimes, but there's a way of realizing that I don't have to stay there. That there is a way of stepping back and coming in contact with something else. And you know, drawing on the bank account of the many loving relationships that I have in this world, really all over the world at this point. And feeling a sense of compassion and love for them. I the very first one of these talks that we did, mm-hmm. Was about my project that I was involved with in Kashmir.
Yeah.
And, at this point, there's some things happening in Kashmir right now. The whole country is on whole state. They consider themselves a country, but a state. They're on lockdown right now. And so there's no communication with people that I care a lot about. Because they're closed down, and so there's a place in me that, I, in a way, I feel really deeply connected, even though I can't talk to them or reach them. And there's something very universal. There's a compassion for everyone who experiences something like that. The Tibetan Buddhist practice of Tonglen meditation is one that I actually use a lot as a way of. It's another path to self, really. There are many paths to the same thing. So I notice that as I'm even just talking about it in this moment, there's a sense of joy with it, but there's a sense of calmness and quietness inside as well. Mm-hmm. And there's a sense of communion with a lot of people. There's a sense of shared purpose. And with shared purpose, there's a presence that comes in. It's another aspect of self. Really, it has so many different ways of being experienced. It's universal, but we each have our individual experience of it that makes it seem kind of unique. But I find for myself, the deeper I go into it, the less unique it is. And that actually is sweet to me.
Yeah. I saw on Facebook when you were talking about the challenge that Kashmir is experiencing right now. And for those of you that don't know Dennis on Facebook, it's Dennis Gaither Facebook. And also you can check me out on Facebook too, Cornelia Stephanie on Facebook as well. And you can follow us there. Dennis always shares a lot of his beautiful blessings and different beautiful images that he's created over the years and things that he loves, shares it with us there too. So you might want to check him out there on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So we just have a few minutes left. Dennis, what is it that you want to leave our audience with today?
Yeah, I think I would like just for people to leave with a sense of knowing that they are not alone, that self-presence, whatever word you want to use for it. I use self as the one that I'm familiar with, but that presence is within you. It never leaves you, and it's a place, it's your inner healer. Everybody has that. And I'm hoping that this may have brought people's awareness, listeners' awareness of that, and maybe their motivation or sense of, I want to do more of this. I want to be more in touch with who I really am, because that's who we really are. We grow up with the idea that the self-concept is who we are, but it's not. There's something much deeper. And so if people have come just a little closer to that, even a little glimpse of that, I'm delighted.
Yeah, it's beautiful. What a wonderful show today, talking about our inner family, our inner healer, and all the parts that that are within us, and to make friends with it all, right? And be curious about it so that we can experience a greater healing. Thanks, Dennis, so much for coming on and bringing this wonderful topic. And thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in. And we'll see you all again next Friday on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Cornelia Stephanie Show, Wake Up to Love, your call to action. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio. Cornelia's joy is to engage others in practical ways, showing us how to live in the new earth in harmony with our true nature. For more information on Cornelia and her extraordinary work, or to listen to past shows, go to her website at corneliastephanie.com.